dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to episode 172 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, and with me, the gentleman to my right and left, we will introduce in just one moment after we tell you that we, of course, as we have been for the past 6 years, are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn off of Bridge Street. You can give them a call at 740-773-7529, or they've got a really pretty good website located at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com, where they will keep you up to date on everything, including their menu, their schedule, events, and all kinds of things that are happening there. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And now we'll bring in these two sports nerds that I have with me, guys that know everything there is to know about SVC Sports. First up of SVC Sports Talk is Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are we?
Well, doing great, Bruce and Derek. Certainly appreciate you being back with us here in the winter. And I tell you guys, I'd said on the girls' show, over the last 30 years I got to thinking in preparation for the show, I had mentioned that from being a manager to a junior high player to a high school player, then about 10 years of varsity boys coaching as an assistant and a head coach, and then some junior high work, camps, little leagues, and then now the last 4 or 5 years getting into the girls' varsity side, it's really given me a perspective. The game of basketball has been so great to me, and so many of the relationships I've been able to make, this really becomes my passion, and this becomes one of my favorite parts of doing the website is SVC Sports Talk in the winter. So, you know, Derek, I really get excited. We get the opportunity. I know on the girls' side, we probably touched almost on, 50 names. You know, here we go on the boys' side. I expect us to be able to do the same as we kind of get into the show here a little bit. Give the fans an idea of what it's like from the Chillicothe Gazette perspective and what you're trying to do in the early going.
Well, I mean, in the early going, we're trying to cover as much as possible with one man. So, you know, and sometimes that gets tough, but, you know, I do love going out to watch the game. So, you know, just trying to get pictures up, get, you know, articles in, get interviews with coaches, as many stats as we can get in the paper. I mean, just really giving the public a really a good feel of what to or what maybe to expect, and you know, kind of what happened last year, and if they go out to a game and you know, say watch, I don't know, the Adena basketball team, you know, kind of where they lost last year and how far they got in the tournament, and then you know what maybe they could expect to come up this year and how maybe far they can go in the tournament this year. So that's what we're doing now, and then you know, as the season goes on, previewing games. Going to games, live coverage, you know, features, obviously, like all that good stuff. So,
all right, hey, our first before we get to the summarizing the individual teams, how would you kind of summarize the league this year, Shane?
Well, you know, it's ironic because from a historical perspective, I mean, we've been playing basketball a long time in the SVC. You graduate a kid like a Pierce Mowry, fourth all-time, Jonathan Thomas, fifth all-time, even Anthony McFadden, after an injury, he was still a 1,000-point scorer. And now we have the unfortunate news of Corey Wyman's injury. Looks like he's going to miss the year. Looks like Jay Riley at Paint Valley is going to miss the year. So it kind of leaves you scrambling to try to see what all that means. You know, Uniode, I think, is by far the best team. I think 2 through 8, it's really, really tight. When you look, we had Huntington there with Uniode going 14-0. We had two teams at 10 wins, and then we had Huntington there at the bottom winning 2. I think that gap could smash together even a little bit more. Guys, I think winning 10 games, if your name's not Uniode, is going to be a really, really tough situation. Not that Uniode couldn't lose on a given night. I'm just saying that if Uniode does win 14 times, obviously that's already 2 losses. on your own individual record. So it's a situation where getting the double figure wins is going to be very, very difficult. But at the same time, I think there's so much parity 2 through 8 in some of the matchups that I expect all the teams to do some winning and maybe rack up 2-3 league wins. So I think we're in for some really neat matchups. We should see a lot of competitive games, and it should make for a pretty exciting take, which I know makes your job a lot more enjoyable, Derek.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, you never really know what to expect. You can, you know, when you go see Unyoda, like last year when you went and seen maybe a Unyoda and a Huntington team play, you pretty much knew who was going to win that game. So you could go into that game with your lead written, your first three paragraphs, and then you're looking for a quote from Matt Hoops, and then, you know, you're done for the night. This year, you know, you go to, you know, maybe a Huntington Southeastern game per se, and you're just like, oh, okay, well, I don't really know who's going to win. So, I mean, I can watch the game as a fan and then as a writer and then kind of get excited about a game. I don't like going to games that you pretty much know what the outcome's going to be. I like going to games where, you know, I don't even know what's going to happen. I want to be shocked as a fan. That's where, you know, the fandom in me comes out. And then I want to come back to the office and write about that and really kind of put that that story into words on a page. So yeah, I mean, it makes my job a lot better. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, Bruce, we're really in for an exciting year, and this boys show should be a lot of fun.
All righty. Well, let's get up to it. Up first, we start at the top with the favorite in the eyes of most people to win it all. Well, I knew Derek would like the bump music there. A little Def Leppard is his hair band, I believe.
I need to be at a concert with like a beverage in my hand. I'm okay. Not sure what I need to do right now. Well, you got to stop that.
You can. I'll take it out completely there, so you don't don't get off track. Hey, guys, before we do get in, we want to give a shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club, being one of our good sponsors here, have been for a couple, 3 years, I believe now. And they are located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West up by Williamsport. And I was just looking at their website, which can be found at crownhillgolfclub.com, where you can take advantage of some of their offerings right now in their online store. You can go there and do some shopping without even leaving the premises. Or we can take you up a day and let you look throughout the shop. They've got all kinds of things. Right now they have on special their 5-day and 7-day memberships. And then they have some regular offerings of lessons and so forth that you can purchase right online. And with Christmas just around the corner, you can look to Crown Hill Golf Club for everything for that golfer on your shopping list. I know Shane's wife will probably be taking advantage of this as as Christmas does get near. That's Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. Well, we said we were going to get the start right at the top with a favorite in the eyes of most people to win it all. And you kind of showed our hand here a little bit ago, I think there, Shane, when you mentioned it. But I think they're heavy favorites anyway, and that is the Unyoda Shermans. And most opinions seem to be that they will win it all. And what is it you like about this? And I had a question that came up in my mind. Are we allowed to say the coach's name now?
Yes, we are. Now that we're in the basketball season, we are allowed to say Mad Hoops.
Okay.
And for people that, you know, maybe don't understand that humor, we had a little thing going there in the fall where we were already putting the bullseye on Unyoda. So I promised in the last fall show that I would not say the name of my former high school teammate. So now that we are to the winner, we are certainly allowed to go ahead and let people know just how loaded Coach Hoops' team is.
Okay.
No, seriously, this team, you know, you'll hear me say a lot when I talk basketball, if you're really good at guard, you've got a chance to be really good. And boy, are these guys good at guard. Logan Swackhammer and Brandon Kennedy. Derek, what I love about their games is how much they were already pretty good, but I love to see good players go to work on something that they need to get better at and come back that much better a year later. And when I watch Swackhammer, the thing I always questioned about him was the consistency in the shot. And I was really watching him on film that I had a chance to watch in the preseason. And I was watching him closely in warmups from floor level at the preview. and just the consistency in the stroke, a little bit more balance, a little just, again, just a little bit better release, and really, really is an improved shooter. That makes him extremely dangerous because we know how good he is with the ball and how unselfish he is with it. And then on the other side, Brandon Kennedy's as good a shooter as we have in Southern Ohio. Well, now what he's done is he's gotten a little bit stronger, and he started to be able to put the ball on the floor. I think his ball handling and just overall ball skills have just gotten a lot better. So now if he's able to take on some more point guard characteristics and he's able to drive and create for others, boy, do they become just nearly impossible to defend on the perimeter. And then you throw in a Hill and Ogun inside, White, Edler, Fisher, Ivy. I mean, they're so athletic, so great versatility. You know, a lot of unselfishness. They share the ball well. Again, I've watched them play a lot of different types of opponents here in the preseason, and I just think they're complete when you go inside out, coach, and when they're invested on the defensive end, that can really make them go as well. So yeah, Bruce. I mean, there's you could almost sit here and talk as just a basketball nut. You could almost sit here and talk for 10, 15 minutes about just what you really enjoy about what makes the Uniota Shermans go. You know, Derek, I think everyone will agree that they're the favorite on paper. Just your thoughts on you know, this version of Uniota, if you will, when you look at the run they've been on here the last couple of years.
You know, I still think that they're going to win the SVC, and I honestly think that they'll win a gold ball. So Matt Hoops, you know, checkmate. it's now your turn to live up to those projections. But you know, I really honestly think that they'll miss Eric Hosley and Isaac Wheeler in the middle. I think that Gavin Ogun and Peyton Hill's got to really step up and really play big. We know Swag Cameron and Kennedy's and even Clay Edler, you know, are very good basketball players. They can carry a team when they want. But, you know, I think the inside game is what needs to be really put under a microscope for Uniota this year. If you look at Gavin Ogun and Peyton Hill, they're fairly inexperienced because Hosley and Wheeler have been there, you know, so many years, and they've been so consistent and so reliable at those positions. So, you know, I'm hoping that Ogun and Hill can, you know, kind of step into those roles and be as good as Hosley and Wheeler were. But I'm anxious to see if that's the case.
Yeah.
All righty. Have you kind of touched on the gap between Uniota and the other teams? I mean, is it all just based on personnel or is it experience? What do you think there?
Probably all of the above. I just think what happens over the 14-game grind, Bruce, we touched on a little bit with Southeastern girls, yeah. But even in fairness to Uniota boys, you're talking about a completely different level. I mean, you're talking about throughout the course of 14 games, you're going to have to win a fast game. You're going to have to win a slowdown game. You're going to have to win a game that's called physical. You're going to have to play through some foul trouble. You might have to play through some injury or sickness. And basically, Uniota has all of those boxes checked. I mean, their ability to play small, as I said earlier, their ability, you know, Coach Hoops can go with two, three post lineup if need be. They could really rebound it. And then the versatility of Kennedy now, I really think gives them a chance to create other places than just from Swackhammer, maybe having to take on all of the ball handling responsibility. Because I thought, as I really studied that team into the tournament run last year, I thought that was a big factor. And I think what you're going to see is the likes of Kennedy, White, Edler, even Ivy, some of these kids being able to share in some of the creating of offense. And I really think as unselfish they are, it's going to give them a little bit more flow.
All right, Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the gap between Uniota and the other teams is, to me, I think it's the depth. I think Shane mentioned that, but, you know, and it's been that way for a couple, 3 years now with Uniota. They can bring – I think they brought 9-10 deep off the bench last year, and, they, you know, that 9-10 was just as good as some of their opponents 1-2. Mm-hmm. Honestly, with this team, 6-9 could probably start on most of the teams in the conference, and that's how it's been over the past couple of years. So if I had to go with one characteristic to be the gap, that's what it would be.
All righty. With the balance of the league positions 2-8, we're just going to go in alphabetic order since there seems to be the word parity floating around here with respect to the remainder of them. So in alphabetic order, next we bring up Adina. Shane, what says you?
Well, what I like about Adina is that this is certainly a team that's right there in the running for that two hole, and a team that on a given night can have the ability not to turn it over at guard. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear me say all the time, if you're good at guard, yep, you have the ability not to turn it over. You have the ability to understand tempo. And with Trey and Jeff Postage, they certainly are. You know, Jeff does a nice job running the show there. Trey is one of our elite shooters. I look for him as I watched him in the preview, not only be a great shooter, but maybe able to put the ball on the floor a little bit more and score in a variety of ways. And as I talked to Andrew Day, who's been a longtime assistant out there, Andrew played for me out at Paint Valley when I was with Craig Kearns several years ago. Andrew was a really elite player in our league and does a great job coaching. I know he was saying the Adina coaching staff is really happy just about some of the size that they have. They haven't had a lot of size in the past. And, you know, so when you look down the roster, some length and size and strength of Preston and Dalston, Baconhaster, Chris Postage, Zach Fowl is an impressive looking young kid. There's just some kids that offer them maybe the opportunity to compete on the glass a little bit more. Maybe even establish a little bit inside game to where they don't have to do it all off the dribble. There's a lot to like for Adina under a new coach here. We'll kind of see how it goes, but they're certainly in the running to win, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 league games for sure. You know, Derek, I don't know how many times you've had a chance to see them early, but just your thoughts on what you've heard from Frankfurt here coming into the winter.
Well, you know, full disclosure for me, I haven't got to see Adina once this year. You know, with the girls basketball going on during the preview, I had to cover two girls basketball games at Paint Valley while the preview was going on. So you've actually seen them in action. I can only go off hearsay, but what I have heard is that Jake Dawson is going to be a monster. And I've heard that from coaches. I've heard that from players. You know, we kind of saw what he could do on the football field. And, you know, so we know he's a great athlete. But last year he didn't go out for basketball or didn't contribute much. And for me, it's just like, okay, well, we'll see, you know. But with the postage, I call them the postage litter, there at Adina, you know, all three of those kids can play the game. You know, so when you add a Jake Dawson into that, when you add a Zach Fowd into that, you know, maybe Adina will surprise some people. And I know Kyle Bradley knows his stuff. Andrew Day knows his stuff. So, you know, hopefully the Warriors can even get back to where they were a little bit further in the tournament this year.
All right. Next up is Huntington. Shane?
Well, this is a team that is certainly experienced. This is a team that's been at the varsity level for a long time now. They're led by DeAndre Vinings, a really, really good player. The biggest thing for DeAndre is just getting himself to where he can stay healthy. He can stay in the mix there for 22 games. If he does that, I look for him to have a real he's had a solid career so far, but I look for him to even take it to another level this year. I really do. With Nelson and Lewis and Smith at the senior level there, they add in another kid named Zach Cooper this year. And then obviously McCloskey returns, Gavin Snyder, as a kid that's been in the program all the way through, and then they'll even look to a young kid, Seth Beeler. But, you know, there's a mix. It's certainly about what this senior group has done. You're talking about a lot of kids now that are about 50 games into their varsity career, and are they able to take that experience and bring a maturity with it and see if they can find a way to finish off? I thought, Derek, last year they were a lot more competitive into the third and fourth quarter, and they just weren't able to finish it a little bit. So you would think a year older, a couple new pieces added in, maybe that'll be the kicker. But I will say I look for DeAndre to really have a nice year. I know you had a chance to get to know him a little bit last year with an incredible piece that you've done. Just your thoughts with Huntington's, you know, senior laden group and how the mixing in now of Cooper and McCloskey, a year older, Snyder up from the JV team, even a Beeler as a young kid, maybe playing a quarter or two. Just what are you hearing out in Huntington?
Well, I mean, I can tell you this. You know, I had a source tell me, and this source told me that he didn't want his name mentioned because it would destroy all my credibility. So I won't mention his name. I'll just say he's a police officer that announces Huntington basketball games, if anybody knows who that is.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, he was really high on this team. He said, look, they're going to surprise people. And I agree. I don't think that they're going to, again, I don't think they're going to maybe, you know, they, you know, win 14 games or, you know, or win the league outright. I just think that, you know, they could sneak up on some people. They could beat some teams that may be down this year, some teams that may be younger than these guys are. These guys have a lot of experience. I mean, they do bring a Viney back. They bring the Nelson back. And you know, my source told me that, you know, Seth Beeler was going to be, you know, an absolute stud in the future. So maybe he can contribute a little bit more as well this year. But I'm excited to see, you know, Todd Kelo's teams have never been they've never lacked defense, and that goes for last year. Even going 2-20, and they were a decent defensive team. So if they can find some scoring somewhere for some of these younger kids, you never know.
Yeah, the one thing I'll throw in, Bruce, before we go sure. on there is, you know, winning's hard. I mean, you know, so yeah. A lot of times you see 2-20 and you think that they're just getting blown out every night. Sure, they got blown out a time or two, but there were 6-7 games that come to my mind in the league and non-league that they were able to get into the final 4 minutes and maybe just not make an extra play. Now, with a little bit more experience across the board and a little bit more improved guard depth, you know, maybe you're able to find a way to win those games. So that'll be something I'd keep an eye on, not just with Huntington, but a lot of these teams that are a year older.
All righty. Next up is Paint Valley, as we go down through in alphabetic order, positions 2-8. What about them, Shane? Do you have any inside information on them?
Well, obviously, I've seen Paint Valley a lot. I've seen them on film. I've had a chance to stick my nose in a little bit of a practice. I've had a chance to watch them in the preview. Really, really like Dylan Swingle's improvement. Obviously, we've known Dylan's going to be a special talent for quite some time. He's already had a good freshman sophomore year. But I'm telling you, he's really made some improvements in his game. He continues to get stronger. Really nice athlete for his size, and so he's mixing in a lot that he's going to be able to lead this team. You know, obviously the college choice is out there, and he's doing a lot of visiting to some nice schools. That'll all take care of itself. You know, no hurry there. Hopefully, he'll make a great decision for himself academically, and the basketball stuff will take care of itself. But as far as this year's Paint Valley team, Derek. I look at Dylan leading a team that with Jay Riley out now, it really puts a lot of pressure on some young young guards. This is one of our younger backcourts in the league with Caden Grubb and Cruz McFadden. Some forward positions. They'll have some length there with Andrew Bronner, Drake Purdom. They'll look to freshman Bryce Newland, who has a big upside as well. So, yeah, they obviously have a top five player in the league, arguably the best player. And you take this young backcourt, and as they're able to progress, I thought it was interesting the other night at the preview, Bruce, when the game got going really fast, Piketon seemed so comfortable, and Paint Valley seemed a little unsure. But as that game got into the half court, you know, Piketon had some trouble with Swingle. And Swingle was able to not only score himself, but get Purdom some looks, get Newland some looks, and so forth. And we know Bronner's a capable shooter. So I just think this is a team that does certainly have some potential. We just talked about Huntington. You know, Paint Valley only won 4 last year. Obviously went through a key injury with Anthony McFadden. But as a result, I know, Derek, you talked about the injury of Lexi Woods on the girls' preview show and how you thought that was going to force that team to grow. I think that happened a little bit last year when Anthony went down. I thought Bronner and I thought Purdom and so forth had to take on a little bit more, and maybe that'll be able to impact them this year as well as Grubb. Just your take on Paint Valley and where the Bearcats can kind of fit into this mix this year.
Well, I think it's fair to say that, you know, everything Paint Valley rolls right through Dylan Swingle. I mean, you know, whatever success they will or will not have, you know, it's just that just comes with the territory of being 6'11" and averaging 20 and 18 a game. I mean, it rests on his shoulders. Now, I as you said, Shane, I've heard from a lot of people that he's made a complete transition in his basketball game for the positive. I mean, it wasn't like he was bad before. So, you know, I think he's going to give opponents fits down there in the paint. As you mentioned, it gives the opportunity for Paint Valley to give other kids the ball on the perimeter. And I think that's key. If McFadden, if Grubb, if Bronner, if Newland, if Purdom, you know, if all of those guys can kind of step up, hit some shots in clutch moments. You know, yeah, Paint Valley could absolutely surprise some people. I hope to see Swingle become more aggressive in the paint. You know, kind of, I know Swingle, he's a big teddy bear. You know, he kind of has this soft-spoken kind of thing where it's just like, you know, I don't want to hurt you, man. I'm a lot bigger than you are. Well, I hope he goes on the court and he's like, look, I'm going to manhandle you tonight. Because if he does that, he can. And if he can, then Pay Valley can have success. I mean, so I think you need to see Swingle get more aggressive, and you need to see some of these younger kids step up, hit some big shots. And, you know, just kind of like we said with Huntington, who knows? Who knows what Pay Valley could do?
Well, and Bruce, his basketball IQ is really helpful too. You know, I mentioned the young backcourt. You know, you'll see Dylan utilized a lot just in as a passer. He'll help in terms of the pressure with his size and his IQ and his ability to help throw over the top. But then what's happening is when he's catching it with throughout their four out one in offense, you know, he's able to become a passer. Don't be surprised, Derek, as we get into the leaders later in the year, if you see this young man average four or five assists tonight as well. So I think he's in for a huge year. Real good kid. Real excited to see his progression.
I don't get a lot get to see the SVC a lot, but I did see Dylan and Pike or Paint Valley in the in a scrimmage against Vinton County, and I was impressed with how comfortable he appears on the court. And just like you said, he apparently his IQ, his basketball IQ, is substantial, because he knew when to go to the basket. He seemed to know when to pass it off, and when people would collapse on him, he found the open man and they shot it down. I mean, and his touch is so soft. I was amazed. A couple left-handed hooks.
It's something he's really added in. And, you know, Bruce, I had a chance to break down that film as well, so I ended up seeing that night you're talking about. Yeah. And, you know, Vinton County's got a really good basketball team this year.
Yes,
I think, you know, my brother would be the first to tell you that from an individual matchup, you know, Dylan was a factor. I mean, he was a problem. So, I mean, you know, yeah, he's a kid that I'm really excited for to see. You know, sometimes people get so wrapped up in, you know, how many did he score, do this, or just get out and watch him play and appreciate that, you know, really our league in the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years just hasn't had anything really like him in terms of not only that size, but just being that size and being that athletic and that skilled a basketball player.
He's fast, too, for a big boy. I mean, he really is. So, all right. Well, fans, we're only halfway through, so stay with us as we take a look at the other four SVC teams. Out of the break, we want to once again mention C&K Athletic Equipment. You can find them on the web at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. They're located at 116 East High Street in Circleville. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and closed on Sunday. And they are your source for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. Again, a great place to seek out for the upcoming holiday shopping session. We continue with our alphabetic rundown of the 2-8 teams here in the SVC of the boys. And next up is the Piketon Red Streaks. So, Shane, what do you think on Piketon?
Well, Evan Legg comes in as first year head coach. Obviously, Evan's no stranger to SVC basketball. One of the real elite players in recent history here in our league. In my opinion, probably a top five player that I've watched here, probably in the last decade or so. Pushed 1,500 career points. Point guarded an SVC champion team and played in the state tournament. But, you know, he brings some college experience back to the Piketon program as well. And, you know, he has kind of a nice team. You know, Piketon was really, really well coached a year ago, and they were really young a year ago. So what Evan gets the opportunity to do as he comes in as the head coach is he gets a team that has a little varsity experience and has some versatility to it, with Casey Moore being one of the really, really good players in our league. And then he has really good depth at guard. So when you hear me talk about this should be a team that shouldn't be turning the basketball over at a high rate. This should be a team that is able to handle the basketball and pass and catch it at three, four different positions with Zimmerman, Beach. Then in the post, you know, a long, lanky athlete like Trey Wick, and then Reader is a kid that seems to have some good strength and some pretty good fundamentals with his feet and some pivots and some different counter moves. So, yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how it comes together with a first-year head coach. But again, this is a team that seems to want to go up tempo. They seem to be comfortable doing it. And we'll see how the three-point shot evolves. That was the one thing they didn't do a lot of last year that, as I watched them early in the year, I think they have a couple kids that can shoot it. But a key to this team is going to be their defensive pressure and then their ability to break people down off the dribble, in my opinion. But, you know, Derek, as you look at this team, if you look at how wide open the league seems to be 2 through 8, again, this is a team, like I mentioned with Adina, that I'm sure expectations are probably high for them to – you know, take a look at last year. They were a much improved basketball team, I thought, throughout the year. They finished at 5-17, but I thought it was a team that, you know, by the time I watched them play in the tournament, they were a lot better than what they were in November, December. And that kind of translates over to this year, doesn't it, with how many kids they return?
Yeah, and let's not forget that they also lost to Adina on that last court shot by Colin Corey last year in the Division III sectional semifinal. Yeah. So you know, they could have been playing Westfall and you know, maybe even beat Westfall and go to a district semifinal. I mean, that's kind of what Pike has done over the last couple of years, is they've found a way to get to the Convo. You know, that was – I mean, anytime you have Casey Moore on your basketball team, along with Steven Zimmerman's outside shot, you know, you've got a chance to win every game you're in. You know, I think Travis Veach, Bryce O'Dell – you know, Tanner Veach even contributed a couple minutes last year. And then, as you mentioned, Trawick there, a big lanky kid in the middle that, you know, could really crash the board. As you said, yeah, Piketon could absolutely compete. Maybe not for a league title with Uniota, but I think that they will finish better than 5-17.
No question.
All righty. Moving along. Next up is Southeastern.
You know, this is probably the team, Bruce, that it has me kind of buffaloed the most in terms of – I'm really anxious to try to get out and watch them play 2-3 times early. This is a team that I see a lot of pieces. Again, a team last year, 5-9 in the league, 8-16 overall. But you felt like they were a little bit better than that. And that kind of seems to be the ongoing thing. And these teams are coming back with an opportunity to – again, wide open, kind of to compete on a nightly basis. Again, a new coach has some pieces. Ethan Smith can really shoot it. Benson is a nice athlete. I don't know exactly what role they're going to use Lane Ruby in. It looks like he's going to handle the ball for him. The other night at the preview was my first take. I watched him play one time in junior high, but the other night it looked like he handled the ball pretty well. And being a quarterback, obviously has the leadership skills in terms of running the offense. So Hartman is another kid on the roster that I thought really had come on a year ago, the second half of the year. So we'll see. What their depth's going to be like. It looks like they want to play a little bit of up-tempo. It looks like they can play a little bit of inside-out offensively. But this is a team that I probably look forward to, Derek, seeing as early, as many times early as possible, because I like some of their pieces. I just don't know exactly how it's going to fit together just yet for Southeastern. Just what are you hearing? I know you've done a nice piece early in the preseason here, kind of getting to know some of the new coaches.
Well, you know, it's funny because I asked a guy, I was like, you know, hey, what kind of coach is Andy Slaughter? Obviously, this area has not seen him coach a lot. I mean, he's not been here in this area coaching a lot, but he wants to be here. I can tell you that. You know, when I asked this guy, I said, you know, what kind of coach is Coach Slaughter? And he said, well, I'll tell you this. You know, I walked in the high school the other day and I heard somebody yelling, and I walked in the gym and it was Coach Slaughter. And those players knew who was in charge on the practice court. So, you know, I think Andy he's already gotten control of the team. They know what he wants. They know how he wants the game to be played under his regime. And I think that's important. I think, you know, you have to have an identity as a head coach. And those players are, you know, really kind of figuring out what that is. And they'll figure it out more as they continue to play regular season games that count and matter now. You know, as far as the roster goes, I mean, you know, Rex Harbin's a great piece. Dawson Steele's a great piece. I know that Aaron Benson, you know, he did a lot last year. You mentioned the shot of Ethan Smith. I guess my biggest thing with Southeastern is how are they going to replace the losses? Because you think about a Justin Dye, and it's like, oh, well, you know, Justin Dye was everything they had last year. Well, they also lost Austin Cohn, Hunter Miles, Isaiah Dressback, Tyler Carroll. I mean, they lost a good bit of their scoring last year, you know, other than Aaron Benson, who maybe scored six points a game. So my thing is, where's the scoring going to come from? that's my biggest question about Southeastern. And but again, I haven't watched them live. You never know. Lane Ruby could change the dynamic of this team, and you know, I'm sure they're optimistic, as am I, to watch them.
All righty. What about Westfall, Shane?
Well, you just can't talk about Westfall, unfortunately, without talking about the Corey Wyman injury. You know, this really made me sick. I know when I found out, Corey and I were talking a little bit through Twitter there as I was just trying to get an update on it. And, you know, when I kind of heard of the injury and heard he was going to miss the season, it's just, you know, first it makes you sick for the kid. You understand how much time he puts into it. And for him not to get this opportunity as a senior, we understand as adults that there's going to be bigger things in his life to come. But daggone it, when you're 17 years old and you've put the amount of time into it, he has, you know, that's a big deal. So first and foremost, you hate it for the kid. Now, as a basketball fan, I selfishly hate it for myself because I get robbed of the opportunity to watch him play 20 plus times this year. You know, it's a situation of, you know, this kid is really, really talented. And I felt like he was going to bring a team back that was going to have Westfall kind of the sleeper in this entire mix, because I thought he had just enough athletes around him and a couple shooters here, a couple post kids here, to where he was going to be able to put together a player of the year type of season and really make Westfall dangerous. Now, I mean, if you're being honest, I don't know. I mean, because what happens, Bruce, is this. I'm talking kind of as an opposing coach here. Mm-hmm. When Corey Wyman is no longer at the top of the scouting report, what happens to every single player is they bump up a notch. Well, that doesn't sound like much to the average fan, but as you bump up a notch, you get a little bit more attention, and your role all of a sudden increases, and your job becomes a little bit more difficult. So when I look at an Austin Nunnemaker, an athlete like a Matt Jude, a nice JV guard moving up like Trey Jordan, those were all kids that if they're out there with the best guard in the league or one of the best players in the league, mm-hmm. you know, now all of a sudden their job is pretty basically defined of, hey, I've got to be efficient. I've got to get here. I got to knock down my shot. I got to do this. Well, now all of a sudden someone's got to handle the basketball. Someone's got to lead the team. Someone's got to do a lot of those different things. So I still think with Nunnemaker and Jude and Jordan and Lawson and Bergen Farrell, I mean, there's some guys there that are still pretty athletic. I guess for me, it's going to really come down to Nunnemaker and Jordan's ability. They got to kind of grow up overnight, so to speak, and that'll be the factor. If they're able to do that, I think they have enough athletes to still compete 2 through 8 in this league. But it'll just be interesting to see how that development goes in the early going. But again, it's hard to talk Westfall without talking about Corey and his situation, Derek. Just some of your thoughts as we take a look at a lot of athletes that at Westfall play other sports, baseball, football, so forth. Now we look to them on the basketball court to see their progression from a year ago.
I got to agree with you. I mean, I think that, you know, Nunnemaker and Jordan are huge in this equation. If Westfall sees any type of success, but the Wyman injury is just so, I mean, it's tragic if you really think about it. I mean, they just, that kid is could go to college and play somewhere. And maybe he still is. I mean, I'm not sure. But you lose a kid like Corey Wyman, and then you really start to look at a revamped basketball team that may not have that much success this year. You know, if you really just kind of look at it in a realistic angle, and that's not a knock on Westfall, that's not a knock on their kids. You know, I just don't know if they can overcome the Wyman injury. I mean, he was a top 4 or 5 kid in the league, and then you lose him with you know, such a talent, ball handling, scoring, I mean, even rebounding. The court vision, the court IQ, you lose all of that. And it's just like, okay, now where do we look to now? So somebody's going to have to become that leader, as you said, overnight. You know, I mean, and I don't, I mean, can that happen? Sure. Will that happen? I think that's maybe a possibility that we're looking at that may not be realistic. But, you know, I mean, hopefully, that again, as we talked about with Paint Valley and with the Southeastern, or I'm sorry, with the Paint Valley's girls, with Lexi Woods being injured and maybe more experience, maybe that's the silver lining for Westfall this year, is, you know, a lot of the younger kids are going to get a lot of experience as the season goes on.
Yeah. Well, guys, it has occurred to me that we have 4 new head coaches in this league. And so I'm sure that represents some challenges for them, for their teams and so forth. What challenges do the first-year head coaches have that other coaches don't?
Well, really, I think there's disadvantages and actually advantages, Bruce. Yeah. And when I say advantages, sometimes people be like, oh, really? I mean, what do you mean by that? Well, yeah, the disadvantages are kind of obvious. Depending on when you're hired, your time, your resources, you don't know the community, you're trying to put a coaching staff together. Knowledge of the media. You know, you may not know who Derek Webb is. You don't know who Shane Combs is. You know, you know, what are your responsibilities?
Everybody knows who Derek Webb is.
You know, what's your WKKJ responsibility? All those different things that add into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that is a little bit overwhelming at first. But I will say there's one advantage. I think a lot of times with a new coach, you can have that honeymoon period. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is you're always going to have people, play my kid more. You know what I mean? Or, hey, you're messing my kid's shot up, or play, you know, you got the stats wrong or whatever. But there is somewhat of a honeymoon period of where you're going to get an opportunity to kind of come in, and what's mm-hmm. happened before you is not necessarily your fault. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, in some cases you get an opportunity to come in and kind of have a fresh start. And they'll kind of give you that year. You always have that thing of, you know, it's first year coach, give them time. You know, so I'll just throw that out there. But yeah, overall, it's very difficult just in terms of the adjustment period and kind of getting familiar with personnel you're up against, especially if you're coming in from outside our league, you know, scouting, what's the personnel you're up against, what kind of personnel are you dealing with, and trying to get your identity established. So yeah, I mean, you know, Derek, I know you talked to a lot of new coaches just this year, but really doing this in football and volleyball and basketball, whatever it is, I mean, you know, what kind of perspective do you normally get when you talk to a first-year head coach or just a coach that's at a particular school for the first year?
Well, I mean, the first reaction you always get from a new coach is, you know, I'm excited to be here. You know, I want to, you know, we want success. We want to change the face of this basketball program, or, you know, or whatever. Because usually, let's be honest, if it's a new coach coming in, they probably weren't very competitive or very good the year before. Now, you see like a Westfall situation where, you know, Trevor Youngkin left after being 14-9. So that's not always true, but 8 out of 10 times, you know, they're coming in because there wasn't much success or there wasn't much positivity to come out of the season before. So they're always coming out with, you know, well, I'm optimistic about this year. You know, the regular bland answers that you're supposed to give people like you and I. However, then I ask them, well, how have you been welcomed? How are you liking your stay so far? And, you know, a lot of guys are very honest. Well, you know, it's kind of a tough transitional period. Or, you know, the kids have really welcomed me very nicely. You know, we talked about Andy Slaughter. You know, when I asked him that same question, he said, you know, I've been lucky enough to have seniors. And Evan Legg is the same way. He told me almost the same exact identical answer. I've been lucky enough to have these experienced returners come back and really welcome me into the program and let the other younger kids know, hey, we need to listen to this guy. He knows what he's talking about. So I think that is sometimes can be a disadvantage, though, because maybe you don't have that senior class I guess they're that inclusive. But if you have that senior class and those kids that will, you know, kind of wrap their arms around you and welcome you into the program, you know, you can have a lot of success in this league.
Yeah, good stuff. That's a good question, Bruce. We'll kind of keep our eye on that, particularly here on the boys' side throughout the year.
Sure will. Zane Trace. What about them?
Well, I'll tell you this, guys, that every year you leave the preview with a particular name that you didn't know when you pulled in and got out of your car. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's Cameron Evans, freshman, 5'10". You talk about size and athleticism. He plays a lot bigger than 5'10". He plays a lot older than freshman. I'm telling you, this kid's nice. I mean, he has good feet. He has good IQ. You know, he's out there playing against Uniota. Obviously, Uniota's never fun to play against, but at the preview, it's even worse because coaches are trying to play everybody or in mixed lineups and things like that. You know, Uniota can mix their lineup or whatever, and it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So it's one of those situations where, you know, he was out there against the best our league has to offer and certainly belonged. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with his game. And then you go down through the lineup, you get some a little bit of length with Odell and Pillow, some good guard play with Rittenhouse. I think the Bean kid has some potential. A couple other freshmen, Nestor and Johnson there on the roster. A couple athletes like Schaefer, Harris, Shanton. I know we've talked to them throughout football there, Derek, so we know the type of athletes they are. But mm-hmm. I guess with Zane Trace, they graduate pretty much the house in terms of the Pierce-Mowry class. It'll just kind of be interesting to see how they're going to mix some of this young talent maybe with some of their older athletes and see what Coach Coker has. Just your thoughts on Zane Trace here as we round out our 18 preview.
Well, again, you know, with Zane Trace, you know, they're another team that I haven't watched live. I'll get the chance to Friday night Saturday night as they play New Hope Christian. But, you know, just from, you know, being an outsider looking into the program, I do know one thing, and that's, you know, I know Pierce Mowry's not there. Alan Coker the past is the past. He's got his kids focused on this year, focused on what they need to do to be successful in 2016 and 17, rather than looking back at who they lost in 2015 right. and 16. So I think that's important because a lot of people look at Zane Trace and they're like, oh, Pierce Mowry's gone, they're going to be bad. And that's not the case. And I've said this, I think, 100 times tonight on the show, but I'm not saying they're going to win a district title. I'm just saying that I think they're going to be better than a lot of people suspected. And maybe not even in conference, but I want to put special emphasis on non-conference games. And I really think Zane Trace will play well in the non-conference just because of the level of coaching they have, the level of athletes that they have. And, you know, they do have a great kid in Darby Pillow coming back and a good basketball player in Isaac Beam. I think they got a Carter Groff Tolbert.
He could absolutely
contribute. Drew Rittenhouse, you know, anytime your last name is Rittenhouse, you're good at something. And Drew's good at pretty much everything he does. So, I think Zane Trace could be right in the thick of things, at the end of the year. And they're only going to get better. You know, they're only going to get better on the basketball court. Better, even in the coaching staff. And so, you know, hopefully the Pioneers can come out and, really kind of hit on all cylinders.
Shane, it's time for the fast break.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get right to it. Obviously, every time we do this, guys, we want it to be brought to our fans by Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Give them a call or check them out on the web. They really have some neat opportunities, as Bruce was saying, here for the holiday season. But, guys, when we go to the fast break, always have Derek go first. I'll follow up second. But this is a chance to kind of pick up the pace and maybe empty the inbox or highlight some different groups of kids. So, Bruce, if you're ready, let's go ahead and get going with our preview version of the fast break.
Once again, this year's officials are being asked to clean up a few physical aspects of the game. Do you anticipate officials looking to call more fouls than in years past?
I certainly hope not, or Matt Hoops and Alan Coker are going to blow a gasket. But they're so much fun to watch. So I don't know if I'm like actually looking for that, or I'm hoping they are, so I can like see the reaction from Matt and Alan. To answer the question... do I anticipate, you know, them calling more fouls? I mean, I don't know, honestly. Sometimes you watch games, I'm like, I don't know how they could call more fouls. I'm a type of basketball fan, so I like to let the players play. I like to let the game decide the action, not the officials. So the asking of them to clean up the physical aspects, yeah, I do kind of anticipate that. I just hope that's not the case.
Well, I don't really think so, Bruce. I mean, we've had the liar stripes on fire segment in the past, and you know, I really feel strongly about a lot of these situations. A lot of different rule changes I would like to see the high school game look at in terms of using the quarter rule in terms of bonus. Maybe even going individual to six fouls so that the officials could call more. Because what happens is, if we want more offense in the game, then we have to stop allowing the defense just to simply turn the game into football. You see what I'm saying? You have to be able to flow offensively and play and so forth. You know, Bruce, you did a Viking realm ball with my brother when you had an official on and you were do the show with your brother there, where you produce that on your website. I was listening to that last year. They had the official on, and an incredible official, but I couldn't disagree with him more. I mean, I have a hard time believing that some of these different rule changes would not allow the officials to open themselves up to calling a little bit more. Right now, though, and honesty to the officials, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you call the fouls, people be like, ah, here we are in the bonus hole, second quarter, stop blowing your whistle. Well, and then if you let it go, oh, you're going to get somebody hurt. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where the official has no chance, and so it's just going to be fun in matchups to see how they adjust, you know, when you're dealing with a Dillon swing one side or when you're dealing with the pressure of, say, a Uniota or a Southeastern, Southeastern girls team or a Piketon. We talked about them on the play-up tempo. You know, on the girls and boys side, you always see different matchups, and you kind of know going into a game that the officiating is going to be key. So we'll talk more about that throughout the year, but that's certainly an interesting thing that I was reading on the OHSAA.
Good brief answer there. One fan was asking for a preseason all-SVC team. Who you taking in your starting five?
You know, I've talked about this before. People call it the Chillicothe Gazette, the Uniota Gazette, but I'm going to be a little biased here. And, you know, I don't think, to me, there's no other guard duo in the league better than Logan Swackhammer and Brandon Kennedy. And then when you look, put them by themselves and you pick in a starting five, I don't know how you don't pick Brandon Kennedy and Logan Swackhammer as your starting guards. I mean, they're just phenomenal athletes, phenomenal basketball players. You know, at the forward position, I think I'd almost stretch Casey Moore out there. I'd take Gabe Fisher from Uniota. So there's more bias. And as a big man, obviously, Dillon Swingle, I mean, you'd have to be crazy not to take him. So that'd be my starting five.
Well, I certainly agree with you on Swackhammer and Kennedy. I don't think there's any way around it with Dillon Swingle there in the middle. I'll even go Peyton Hill. I think his versatility, I think he's in for a big year for Uniota. So I've got three Shermans there as well. And then that fifth spot would have obviously been Corey Wyman. Forget the positions. Yeah. Just he would have been there. So what that does is it really opens it up. You did mention Moore, so I'll throw out, you know, a Postage or a Binding or someone like that, depending on what kind of individual year they're able to have. So, yeah, it's a nice group of top five or six they're returning.
The 2016 The Obvious Stars. Give the fans some names you're expecting will become breakout stars during the 2016-2017 season.
For me, this would be, I'm going to mention Seth Beeler at Huntington. A lot of people are high on him. Haven't seen him play. But just from what I've heard, I think this kid's going to be actually contribute a lot more than we even think he's going to contribute. Then I'll go to Austin Nunnemaker. At West Folk, because somebody has to step up there. I'll go with Bryce O'Dell at Piketon, and I'm going to go with Andrew Bronner at Paint Valley. I think Bronner did a lot of good things last year. If he can play off of Dillon Swingle, and obviously you've got the McFadden and the Newland kind of matchup there, but I think Bronner can really become a very, very good player.
Well, I love some of the kids you mentioned. I certainly had Nunnemaker on my list for the same reason. You know, I think he's going to get forced into a lot more opportunity. You know, with the young kid I mentioned there from Zane Trace, but Trey Ivey's another Uniota kid that I think, you know, statistically they're going to be so balanced you may not always see it, but when you watch him play, gosh, you're trying to match up with Swackhammer and Kennedy, who we just put both on our first team, and all of a sudden you have this athlete on the other wing. So good luck.
All right, that is our fast break, brought to you again by Crown Hill Golf Club. Look them up on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com, or give them a call, 740-986-4653. As always, we would like to have some feedback from you all that are listening, and you can provide that lots of different ways. First, get a hold of Derek Webb by writing him an email at dwebb@chillicothegazette.com. You can follow him at Twitter. His handle there, the @DW1509, and he is a prolific Twitter person. He really has a lot of good comments, although I've not seen too much lately about the Bengals. I don't know what's going on there. We'll get back to that, I'm sure. You can get
no
a hold
getting back to that. Bruce.
Okay,
no
we'll just drop that. You can get a hold of Shane Combs at his email address, which is at admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can also contact him on Facebook. He has two profiles there, and you can follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. And as always, we would love to have you subscribe to our podcast. You can do that by probably easiest ways. Go to the iTunes store and look us up, SVC Sports Talk. We're in there. Give us a great rating and a favorable review. You can do so also by going to
a Podcatcher app, which you can find on your iPhones and Androids and so forth. And then you can do an email subscription as well. You can always leave us a voicemail if you want to get in touch with us at DBK Media Services, listener line 740-569-3254. We're going to move back into the post-game comments here, brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. If you want to give them a call too, they are at 740-477-9828, located at 116 East High Street. They're your local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment source for all our SVC teams. Derek, your final thoughts on the upcoming season and post-game comments.
Well, I kind of mirror what I said on the girls' preview show. You know, just I'm just excited to get back out there. I mean, I'm excited to see you know, the progressions that our players have made throughout the offseason, how much work they put in the gym. I mean, all that comes to light real quick, you know, starting Friday and Saturday when our teams get out there. So, you know, just kind of chomping at the bit to see some boys basketball action, as I've kind of always whetted my appetite from the girls basketball.
Mm-hmm. And Shane, what about you? I know this is an exciting time of year for you. This is kind of like Christmas, isn't it, for you?
Well, it really is. And, you know, I think we're in for a fun year. If you really like basketball, I think what you're going to see on the boys' side is a lot of unique matchups. You're going to see some zone teams, some hard man teams, some pressing teams. You're going to see some improved guard play overall, some depth at the guard position a year older at a lot of these schools. But you're also going to see some young kids blend in and so forth. So if you're a fan of basketball, I think you're in for a real treat. And you know, before we get out of here this week, certainly want to thank you, Bruce. When we decide to do this, it's kind of like doubling up this week, even though it may cost us a show later in the year. We just always feel like, gosh, if we tried in 20 or 30 minutes to go down the league for girls or boys, you almost kind of just cheat the leagues in terms of a preview show. So when we decided to do the two in the week, I know that kind of doubles you up in terms of your work behind the scenes, but we certainly appreciate it because the feedback we get from the fans, they seem to really enjoy it this way. So a shout out to DBK Media Services and all the work that you do. So
I'll just have the people behind the scenes do all the work for me. Okay.
Yeah, I hear you. I tell you, I think we're in for a real treat. I can't wait to get the feedback and look forward to some great shows here in the future. So fans, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.